Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. I'll begin reading in verse 24. All these words that I read are in red, if you have a red letter edition Bible, which means these are the words of Jesus Christ. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is an old English word that means money. You cannot serve God and money. Cannot. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? The material obsessions of life. For after all these things do the Gentiles, the unsaved people, seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Verse 33, and the text of our message. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Matthew Henry writes this commentary on verse 33. I love the way he writes this. And by the way, we do have the Matthew Henry Study Bible that we carry. We have a lot of people that have purchased the Matthew Henry Study Bible. Years ago, somebody asked me to recommend a Bible, a study Bible, not just the text of the Bible, but a study Bible. And I thought for a minute and realized I couldn't recommend any of them because all of them were Christian Zionist in their notes. And then I remembered the Matthew Henry Study Bible. And, of course, written in the late 16 and early 1700s. And so we went through an arduous process. It took over a year to convince the publisher that we would be able to distribute quite a few of these. They were really reluctant to let us become a distributor. They didn't know who we were. They didn't know anything about us. And so they were very reluctant. We tried for over a year. Finally, they gave in and started supplying us with Matthew Henry study Bibles. And since then, of course, they're glad they did, because so many people have purchased the Matthew Henry study Bible from Liberty Fellowship. And it's the only Bible, only study Bible that I can recommend, because it does not teach Christian Zionism in the notes. And even though I will disagree with Matthew Henry in parts of prophecy, and I explained that 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago in my Secession of Antichrist prophecy message. Go back and watch that. And I went into detail talking about the differences between historicism and biblical theology relative to prophecy and how it all fits together. But he's such a terrific commentator. The gold standard, actually, of all Bible commentaries is the Matthew Henry commentary on the Bible. George Whitefield, one of the men who brought the Great Reformation to America, the Great Awakening, read the Matthew Henry notes, I can't remember how many times, but the last time he read the notes of the Matthew Henry commentary, back in those days, the commentary was a separate book from the Bible. They weren't integrated in the same on the story. He read the Matthew Henry commentary on his knees. That's how reverently he thought of that commentary. He read the entire commentary, and the whole commentary would be about this thick. I'm not kidding. It would be about that thick. It's a huge, huge volume. He read the whole thing on his knees. Anyway, Matthew Henry said, our duty is to seek, to desire, pursue, and aim at these things. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It is a word that has in it much, listen to the expression here, much of the constitution of the new covenant. Don't you love that? The constitution of the new covenant. That's why these writers are so great, so profound. Let your care for your souls and another world take the place of all other cares, and let all the concerns of this life be made subordinate to those of the life to come. We must seek the things of Christ more than our own things. And if they ever come in competition, we must remember to which we are to give the preference. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. The context of verse 33 is material concern and money. That was the context. You cannot serve God and money. And then he went on to explain all that we just read, summarizing with, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So the context was material concern and money. In other words, we are to put Christ first in the priority of our finances. Before the tax man, before the debt collector, before our personal pleasures, we are to put God first in our finances. To do anything less is to steal from Almighty God. In other passages, Jesus instructs us regarding putting Christ first in our personal relationships. Jesus is first, not our friends.
Amen. That's right.
Right on.
Yes.
Yeah. God's going to test you on that if he hasn't already. And you're going to have to choose at some point in your life between God and your best friend. Make sure you choose wisely. So put God first in our finances. Put God first in our personal relationships. I've heard messages applying Matthew 6:33 to both of these principles, more than one. But it dawned on me not long ago that I've never heard the application of Matthew 6:33 in the context of country and patriotism. I've never heard a message applying, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness," to the subject of country and patriotism. So you're going to hear it from me today. To most evangelical Christians today, patriotism is defined by the misinterpretation of Romans 13. Can you go grab that? I don't see that up here. Several years ago, I preached a 4-message series on the subject of Romans chapter 13. And I would like to offer this to you. And if you have not already watched this, I'm sure that many of you here in the audience already have this. But for those of you that may be new, it's called The True Meaning of Romans 13. And it looks like this. I know you probably can't see the details on the camera. But there are 4 messages on this DVD. And this is a series that I preached not long after coming to Montana. So this is one of the first series of messages that I preached, and it's on the subject of Romans chapter 13. I really hope you'll get this if you haven't already watched it. I go into the Bible, and not just Romans chapter 13, but the rest of Scripture to prove the truth about what Paul was saying in Romans chapter 13. To most evangelicals, patriotism is defined by the misinterpretation of Romans 13. The definition being always submit to governing authorities. That's how they define Romans 13. If the government passes a law requiring you to turn in your firearms, these Roman 13 preachers will tell their congregations that Romans 13 tells them to turn in their firearms to the government because the government said so, and we should always obey the government. Or you could illustrate by anything else. If the government tells you to close your church services for whatever reason, then you should close your church services. If the government demands you to submit to a certain health care plan, you should submit to a certain health care plan. The government says so. And they quote Romans 13. But wait a minute. The only king and the only kingdom that we Christians owe complete submission to is Christ the King and the kingdom of God. I go back to the theme of our Revolutionary War. Did you know our Revolutionary War had a theme? It did. The theme of the Revolutionary War was no king but Jesus. And that is still the theme and the motto of every true child of God. All other authority is jurisdictional and conditional. Every human authority has jurisdictional boundaries and conditional boundaries to its authority. When any human authority, violates its God-given jurisdictional authority or the divine conditions of its authority, we owe it no submission. None. And that's what this message, Romans 13, the true meaning of, talks about and proves from the Bible. That's why this is so important. I submit that evangelicals have inverted the meaning of Romans 13 and patriotism from that of divine authority and truth to that of demonic servitude and moral cowardice. Amen. Philippians 3:20. For our conversation, the word conversation there in the English does not mean speaking, verbal or oral communication. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about manner of life. For our manner of life, our standard of living is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We get our orders and instructions on how we live our lives, not from Washington, D.C., but from God's heaven. Listen to Adam Clark's comments on that verse, Philippians 3:20. Our city or citizenship or civil rights, defining conversation. Our city or citizenship or civil rights. The word properly signifies the administration. These guys are so brilliant. Throw away all your 20th century and 21st century commentaries. They're not worth the paper that they're written on. Amen. Go back before the 20th century and you'll read some real truth from these scholars. There might be one or two exceptions, not many. The word properly signifies the administration, government, or form of a republic or state. While those gross and Jewish teachers have no city but what is on earth, no rights but what are derived from their secular connections, no society but what is made up of men like themselves who mind earthly things and whose belly is their God, we have a heavenly city, the New Jerusalem. We have rights and privileges which are heavenly and eternal. So the rights and privileges that we derive from God supersede whatever human authority says is our rights or privileges. That's what Adam Clark is saying. As citizens of God's kingdom, We are ambassadors to this world. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are here to represent, using Clark's verbiage and illustration. We are here to represent the administration, government, and form of the republic and state of the New Jerusalem. We are ambassadors of the New Jerusalem. Therefore, we must represent the state, the republic, and the laws of the New Jerusalem to this world. When pastors use Romans 13 to teach complete submission to civil government, they have abandoned their role as heaven's ambassadors and have become vassals of an earthly, beastly state. They're no longer ambassadors of heaven. They're ambassadors of an earthly, beastly state run by Satan. My dear beloved friends, online LF friends, folks in this room, anytime you see Democrats and Republicans, the Hollywood elite, the mainstream media, and evangelical leaders joining together, you can know that the common cause is supporting the beastly Zionist agenda. Mark it down. Anytime you see all of them coalescing around one cause, you can know it's the beastly Zionist agenda. But even in an earthly republic such as America, nowhere is unlimited submission to a civil magistrate considered to be patriotic. Amen. That is not the historic American definition of patriotism. Right. Never has been until the Schofield notes in the Schofield Bible. Theodore Roosevelt was not, I emphasize, not one of our best presidents. Okay? So you don't need to write me any letters about Teddy Roosevelt. I probably know more about it than you do. But Teddy Roosevelt said one statement that was absolutely brilliant and true. Here's what he said about patriotism, showing you that historically in America, patriotism did not mean you do whatever the government tells you to do. No. Roosevelt said patriotism means to stand by the country. It does not mean to stand by the president or any other public official, save exactly to the degree in which he himself stands by the country. It is patriotic to support him insofar as he efficiently serves the country. It is unpatriotic not to oppose him to the exact extent that by inefficiency or otherwise he fails in his duty to stand by the country. In either event, It is unpatriotic not to tell the truth, whether about the president or anyone else, close quote. Mr. Biden, it is not patriotic, and you are not standing by the country by your treasonous policy to allow illegal aliens, including gang members and gang cartels, into our country freely and unobstructed. That is not patriotic. From both an American and a heavenly perspective, our allegiance is owed to the divine truth of both God's natural and spiritual laws. Amen. That is where our allegiance is owed. Standing by the country, to use Roosevelt's phrase, to real Americans means standing by the country's established constituted principles contained in the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights. How fortunate we are as Americans to have the natural laws of God enshrined in the framework of our founding documents. If you have not watched my 10 message series on natural law, liberty, and government, please watch it. Most pastors in America today do not even know anything about natural law. We're talking about natural law, we're talking about God's laws of nature. Our country was founded upon God's laws of nature. Those laws are embedded in our Declaration of Independence and in our Bill of Rights. I have 10 messages in this package. You need to watch it. You need to read the book that John Locke wrote, The Second Treatise of Government. It's not that big, as you can see. This is the most succinct explanation of natural law in print. John Locke is the father of America's founding fathers. Thomas Jefferson borrowed heavily from this volume when he wrote the Declaration of Independence. When you read this book, you're going to think you're reading Jefferson. But you're not. Jefferson read Locke. And you're reading the source of Jefferson's scholarship. This is fundamental, basic, natural law, American History 101. John Locke, Second Treatise of Government. You need to read Frederick Bastiat's book, see it's not big, called The Law. All of these materials go into detail to describe, to discuss, and to explain the principles of God's natural laws. We have a giant volume called the Freedom Documents that we're going to publish again in May. You can start pre-ordering on May the 1st. We'll publish it in the middle of May. Over 50 of the greatest documents of American history in one book. You will read, when you read that book, you will read the hearts and minds of the founders, and you will understand the natural law principles that they inculcated into our framework as a young republic. Most Americans have no idea about their own history. It's not taught in public school. It's not taught in private school. It's not taught in Christian school. It's not taught in Catholic schools. It's not taught anywhere. The American people have lost touch with their own history, which is why we are repeating the mistakes of history past.
That's right.
If you don't know the history of your own nation, you're turning your nation over to what it was before it became a nation. And that's exactly what's happening in our country today. We are now, not will be in the future, we are right now what our founding fathers fought a revolutionary war to break free from. If our founding fathers were alive today, they would have declared a revolution years ago, decades ago. They wouldn't put up with what we have put up with one bit. But not only do we put up with it, we don't even know what's wrong. We really don't. I don't mean us in Liberty Fellowship. I mean society in general and the people that represent us at whatever level of government. I think I mentioned in my column this week, I had lunch with a Republican county commissioner here in Kalispell several years ago. Did I say he was a Republican? Okay. During the course of our conversation, I asked him, called him by name, and I said, what did you swear an oath to when you were sworn in as county commissioner? Simple question, right? What did you swear an oath to? You swore an oath, right? You took an oath. What'd you swear to? Would you repeat that, please? He stared at me what seemed like an eternity. And then he finally said, I don't remember. The man put one hand on the Bible, he put another hand in the air, and he made an oath before God and before the people that elected him. And a few months later, he couldn't remember the oath he took. When I politely reminded him that his oath was to follow and honor the Constitution, his response was, well, I haven't read much about that. And I promise you, the vast majority of our elected representatives at every level are as ignorant of the Constitution and their oath to it as that man that I had lunch with. What we have now in Washington, D.C., and sometimes even in our state capitals, is gangsterism. It is a classic definition of gangsterism. Biden and Trump are two mafia dons fighting each other for power. Get mad at me all you want. I am telling the truth. These men are gangsters. And they govern like gangsters. Neither party has any intention of following the Constitution.
That's right.
In fact, they will do their best to ride any member of their party out of Washington if they do not buckle to the intimidating power of the family. I gotta calm myself. Pray for me for the next 5 minutes. This is what the Trump mafia did to Montana's House Representative Matt Rosendale. Matt just announced a few days ago his resignation from his House seat due to threats he and his family have received. Now, where do you suppose those threats came from? They did not come from the Democrats, I promise you. Where did they come from? In my heart of hearts, I know they came from the mafia Don Donald Trump. Not directly, of course, through his toady subordinates. Matt was the only genuine conservative constitutionalist representing Montana in Washington. He's the only one. He even had the guts to oppose Trump over some of Trump's unconstitutional conduct. In a gangster's world, you cannot do that. Pardon me, but Steve Daines is nothing more than a toady for Mitch McConnell's big government establishment cabal. Amen. Ryan Zinke is an unconvicted thief, swindler, criminal, and narcissistic shill for all things Ryan Zinke. Tim Sheehy is a Danes establishment psychopath. Yeah. Matt was a principled conservative constitutionalist. And for fear of threats to his life and family's life, he resigned his seat in the House of Representatives. This is not democracy. This is not republicanism. This is old-fashioned banana republic gangsterism. You do what we say or we will kill your family. That's not America. I know what it's like to be threatened. I know what it's like to wear a bulletproof vest for extended periods of time. I know what it's like to be shot at. I know how intimidating it can be. And I'm not going to pretend to put myself in Matt's place. I know he did what he thought was best for himself and for his family, and I appreciate that. And I would never judge his decision or his heart. But the entire state of Montana lost its only constitutionalist champion in Washington, D.C. I hope you know that, Montana. And you need to understand that the Montana hierarchy in the Republican Party is just as corrupt as is the Democratic hierarchy in Montana. Quit talking to me about all we got to do is elect Republicans to public office and everything's going to be fine. Now, Greg Hinkle told me that just a couple days ago that Ed Walker has a genuine constitutionalist track record and this is the man we should support to replace Rosendale. So you can bet that the establishment Republicans will be out in force against Ed Walker. So spread the word, if you would, for Ed Walker. Now would not be a good time to take my blood pressure, Dr. Annie. I am sick at this. Sick to my soul that this could happen in Montana. But again, we're talking federal level. We're talking Washington, D.C. If America's pastors, it always comes back to the pastors, always will. If America's pastors were more concerned over representing the heavenly doctrines of the New Jerusalem instead of promoting the hellish doctrines of Zionist Jerusalem, God would again show favor to our country and give us real leaders instead of the corrupt cabal of gangsters and devils that we have now. I am exercising good citizenship of both heaven and America by telling the truth. Right. And standing four square upon God's natural and spiritual laws. In the priority of our finances, in our personal relationships, and in our patriotism, we must put first things first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Let's stand for prayer.